From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's good to be in the studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Our contact information on the web, equip.org via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants there standing by, 888-7000. And the letter CRI. Richard Dawkins, perhaps the most famous evolutionist on the planet today, said that it is absolutely safe to say that if you meet someone who claims not to believe in evolution, that person is ignorant, stupid, insane, or perhaps even wicked. So the question is, can people of science be people of God who deny the evolutionary paradigm? The realization that revelation is the key to knowledge actually led medieval thinkers to crown theology queen of the sciences. Peter Paul Rubens, he eloquently illustrated that truth in a 17th century painting that was famously titled The Triumph of the Eucharist, standing in a chariot that was propelled by angelic beings was theology. And walking alongside the chariot were philosophy, a wise and, well, grizzled veteran, and then science, who was a newcomer in the cosmic conversation. Of course, the point of the painting is that theology is never absent philosophy and science, but philosophy and science, absent theology, inexorably leads to the blind ditch of ignorance. And Peter Paul Rubens was not the only one so convinced. Leonardo da Vinci, widely considered to be the real founder of modern science, was deeply committed to the biblical truth in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Likewise, Robert Boyle, the father of modern chemistry, as well as the greatest physical scientist of his or any other generation, was an able apologist for the Genesis account of origins. I think of Sir Isaac Newton. He was a remarkable intellect who, of course, developed calculus and discovered the law of gravity and even designed the first reflecting telescope. He valiantly defended the biblical account of creation. Or Louis Pasteur, best known for developing the concept of pasteurization and utterly demolishing the concept of spontaneous generation, underscored the power of revelation and undermined the very evident absurdities of Darwinian evolution. A veritable host of stars in the constellation of scientific discovery were people of science and people of God. Johannes Kepler, astronomy. Francis Bacon, scientific method. Blaise Pascal, mathematics and philosophy. Linnaeus, biological taxonomy. Gregor Mendel, genetics. Michael Faraday, electromagnetics. Joseph Lister, antiseptic surgery. Henrietta Swan Leavitt, astronomy. Clara Swain, medicine. And the list goes on and on. These men and women were deeply committed to both scriptural and empirical evidence. As such, they not only unpacked revelations within the book of nature, but were likewise illumined by the truth of biblical revelation. So we don't have to make some kind of false dichotomy between Scripture and science. We can be people who do good science as well as do well in terms of the interpretation of God's infallible repository of redemptive revelation. I've written about this in the Creation Answer Book, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Let's go right to the phone calls. First up, we'll talk to Brian. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Brian.
Hello there, Hank. First of all, I want to tell you I truly appreciate your ministry. I am the guy who was a scared military army private that heard your voice. I wrote you a letter.
Oh, yes.
And I heard you read that on the air, and I just wanted to say that was me, man. You really, really helped me out through a tough time. I made sergeant in real good rank later on, but when I was a scared private, you really inspired me, and I truly thank you for that.
Well, bless you. Thank you for those wonderful words.
Yeah. Hank, my question I want to ask you is this. What is the order of Melchizedek? Where did Melchizedek come from? Where did Melchizedek go? How was that in reference to Jesus Christ? I'm just so confused about this Melchizedek, and I'd just like to get some answers to that question.
Yeah, it's really interesting that the Melchizedek scroll, which was found in Cave 11, you know, the Dead Sea Scrolls, of course, now have been such a help to us because we have a virtual Old Testament library available at the click of a 21st century mouse. And through the enlightenment of what we find in the Dead Sea Scrolls, I think we can be very certain about who Melchizedek is. Melchizedek is a Christophany, which is to say a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. There are many different Christophanies, and most often they are identified as the angel of the Lord. But if you look at what the Bible says with respect to Melchizedek, it tells us he is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life. That is not to say that Melchizedek had no father or mother. In point of fact, that is precisely what the text says, without mother or father. So a lot of people say, you read that, but really you can't say that Melchizedek didn't have a mother or father. But again, what does the text tell us? He was without mother or father. Not only so, Melchizedek is said to be without genealogy. And if Melchizedek was really an earthly king, and if he was of such surpassing substance and significance that the biblical text calls him the greater and then ends up calling Father Abraham the lesser, we would suppose that the Bible would supply us with ample references to his genealogy. So from an earthly perspective, Abraham, of course, was the king of Salem or Jerusalem, the very region where God gave him victory in the Battle of the Kings. And from the very realm in which God actually called him to establish a righteous nation of kings and priests. But from the perspective of heaven, Melchizedek, who is the king of Salem in reality, remains a priest forever. And therefore, Melchizedek appears as a human king and priest, and yet is, as the Bible says, without beginning of days or end of life, a priest who offers bread and wine from the Jerusalem, who Paul says is above and is free and ultimately is our mother. So we should note that Scripture not only designates Melchizedek king of righteousness and king of peace and overtly tells us that he is without father or mother, without genealogy, without beginning of days or end of life, but that like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. So though he did not trace his descent from Levi, the Bible tells us yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promise. And without doubt, the lesser person, we're told, is blessed by the greater person In the one case, the tenth is collected by men who die, but in the other case, by him who is declared to be the living. So in contrast to people who die, Melchizedek is said to be the living. So again, all of these, I think, collectively point to the fact that Melchizedek is a Christophany. It is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ.
Well, that is just absolutely awesome. You broke that down to me. A three-year-old can understand that. I thank you for your ministry, Hank, and I thank you that when I didn't even know who you were, I just knew the Bible Answer Man, and I was on the other side of the world in a foxhole, and you told me that the Lord will never leave or forsake me. I just thought that was awesome that everywhere I go, there you are, and I just appreciate your ministry. Thanks a lot for your help and for your love, man.
Hey, Brian, thank you. You've made my day. Appreciate your call so much. We'll be right back with more answers. Stay tuned for that.
Every Bible Answer Man broadcast, such as the one you're listening to right now, is made possible through the financial support of friends like you. Each month, we depend entirely on God's provision through His people to bring you more of the broadcast, podcast, and other resources you rely on. If you want a sound proclamation and defense of the gospel of Jesus Christ to continue to be heard through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Call 888-7000-CRI and stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. We'll return shortly with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Jacqueline listening in Manhattan, Kansas. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question. My husband asked me this the other night, and I was kind of disappointed I couldn't answer it. We both started out Baptist, and now we're Christian. And he was asking me, what's the difference? Because we have so many things that we do alike. It's just so many similarities. Can you tell me what the difference is between Baptist and Christian?
Well, genuine Christians hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And I always say an essentials unity, non-essentials liberty, and all things charity. So what we hold in common with all Christians is essential Christian doctrine. Another way of talking about that is the main and the plain things in the Word of God. They're so simple that a child can understand them. Of course, as I've also said, so difficult sometimes in their profundity that a theologian can drown in them. So we all hold to essential Christian doctrines. These are the very doctrines upon which the gospel is founded, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, and this is the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Now, speaking of Baptists in particular, collectively, they constitute one of the largest and most diverse groupings of Christians in the United States. They generally hold to the essentials of the Christian faith. They believe in two ordinances, not sacraments, but ordinances, the Lord's Supper and believers' baptism by immersion. And we have to say, though, overall, if you travel throughout the United States and you go to some Baptist churches, you'll find some that are extraordinarily liberal as well. The liberal, theologically based Baptists are those that deny the supernatural. So they will deny the incarnation, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, anything that's supernatural. So they denude the Bible of the supernatural. But again, there are many very conservative Baptists who are great leaders in the evangelical movement as churches and as pastors.
Okay. But, I mean, the difference, though, you know, as far as a Christian, I mean, can you give me a distinct difference?
Well, I can't give you a difference because many Baptists are Christians. A vast majority of them hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, and therefore they would be distinctively Christian. And therefore, I couldn't tell you that there's a difference between a Baptist and a Christian because Baptists are Christians. But I've also noted that there are some Baptists who are theologically liberal, and therefore they deny basic essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith, and as such, are not rightly called Christian because they deny essential Christian doctrine. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll talk next to Deidre. She's listening in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Deidre.
Hi, Hank. I enjoy listening to you on my way home from work. And my question for you is, what are your thoughts, I guess, if you could elaborate, on the rapture being taught in Revelation? There's a lot of scriptural reference as far as to say that we might be, you know, the meek shall inherit the earth. I mean, well, more, you know, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know, are there people, are we going to be on earth, Christian believers, you know, or are we going to fly away somewhere? Because what are your thoughts about that, if you can kind of elaborate?
Sure.
I don't want to go all over the place, but, you know, it just seems like, if you know where I'm late-headed with these comments.
Sure. Well, there's nothing in Scripture, there's not a single passage in the whole of the Bible that speaks of Christ coming secretly to resurrect and rapture Christians for 7 years of heavenly bliss. And I don't think there's even a collection of passages that can remotely be construed to communicate a secret coming prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, as I've said many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Lord's own words negate the notion. He said a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So I would say the plain and literal sense of Christ's words suggest a moment in the future when both the righteous and the unrighteous are going to be resurrected and judged together. the notion that believers are going to be raptured during a secret coming prior to the resurrection of unbelievers is an imposition on the biblical text. And I've said this many times, but search as you may, you're not going to find in the biblical text a future seven-year tribulation during which a vast majority of Jews are going to die. In fact, a future seven-year tribulation is conspicuous by its absence in the whole of Scripture. That, of course, is not to suggest that Jews have not faced tribulation in the past. Certainly, there was a ghastly seven-year tribulation that's chronicled in the Old Testament under Antiochus IV Epiphanes. It was prophesied by Daniel, and of course, the prophecies of Daniel came to be. And it was only after Judas Maccabeus was used by God to save the Jews from certain destruction under this Old Testament Antichrist that the tribulation ended. And this is something that Jews celebrate yet today during Hanukkah. So there have been tribulations, but to suggest that the Jews are going to face another Holocaust in the future, I think is unwarranted and unbiblical.
I see. Do you have any other commentary books around this area that I could research and
sure.
read on my own?
Yeah, and I appreciate you wanting to do that because I think it's so important for you to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to the good. Now, I have written about this in various places. There's an entry in my book, Afterlife. There's also a very substantive discussion of this subject in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today.
Oh, wow. The Apocalypse Code. Okay.
Yes, yes.
Sounds like it, what I really need to read. I'll look for it.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments. I appreciate it.
You got it. And of course, just as there is no biblical warrant for a secret coming or a future seven-year tribulation, so too, I don't think there's any biblical basis for believing in a second chance for salvation after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Christ is clear. All given to him by the Father will be raised up on the last day. And Paul points out that the liberation of creation goes hand in hand with the redemption of our bodies. And therefore, I think we can also be certain that no one will be saved during a millennial semi-golden age following the second coming of Jesus Christ. The notion that our bodies are redeemed at the rapture and then the earth is liberated from its bondage to decay approximately 1,007 years later is without any biblical precedent. At the second coming, the bride of Christ, the church universal, is complete. No one else can be saved. Again, written about this in various places. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rhonda. She's listening in Illinois. Hi, Rhonda.
Yes, Hank. I just want to thank you so much for taking my call. And I've got several of your books, and I listen to your radio station whenever I get a chance. Matter of fact, a lot of my family listen to you. And I have a question. My granddaughter sees people. She has since she was probably, and I know this sounds funny, but and she's not a person to lie. She's a good little Christian girl, but since she was probably in the fifth grade, and this has worried me. She won't hardly even talk about it because it scares her. Well, and she said that doesn't really scare her, but she said she's just learned to live with it. And I know you have. I have heard you say something about different things on television and stuff, and it's right out of Hollywood and stuff. And I know my granddaughter is not saying this for attention, because a lot of times I will ask her or talk to her, and she says, I just don't say anything anymore because people think I'm crazy. And I wonder what you have to say about that.
Well, I'm not going to say that she's crazy.
No, she says that. No.
Yeah.
But would this be familiar spirits that is taunting her?
No. I mean, there's no such thing as ghosts or poltergeist, the noisy ghost that is spoken of so often. Ghosts are the stuff of superstition. But I think that the devil is all too happy to play upon our superstitions. Ghosts only exist in mythology, but demons are more than happy to feed our unbiblical delusions. So this is a very scary thing. I think that we need to test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to the good. which is to say that feelings are notoriously unreliable. They should always be tested in light of an objective frame of reference and in a biblical worldview, that is the Word of God.
Okay, okay. So I, when we talk about this, I pray for her. I pray for her that all this that she sees disappears and leaves her alone. And, I mean, like I said, she's done this since she was in the fifth grade. And, I mean, just continue to pray for her. That's all I know to do.
Well, I think pray and then also the means of grace are discipleship, the spiritual disciplines. And when we employ them, our whole worldview changes. We begin to change from the inside out because then we are imitators of Jesus Christ. So I think to partake of the means of grace by reading the Bible through prayer, through integration in a healthy, well-balanced church and the like is part of the solution as well.
Okay, okay. Okay, then. I thank you so very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Look forward to seeing you next week with more of the show.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.